Nehemiah chapter 8. Was that great presentation? Video presentation. So can we believe God for a church? Is it possible? And what is the criteria to be prepared? You need to memorize 25 Greek words, right? No. Just need to be available to God. So, awesome. Nehemiah chapter 8, and we'll conclude. We'll just take maybe 10 minutes or so. Starting at verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Masiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, now this is important, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people had wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amazing, isn't it? What a verse. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now when the Jews had returned from captivity, read Psalm 126 along with this. Remember, we had that as a theme for the conference. Sowing in tears, reaping in joy. Right? Bringing our sheaves with us. Read that along with this passage. When the return was happening from captivity, there were basically three returns from captivity. The first was under Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel was used mightily by God, and he had faced opposition on his way back. And this is all written in the book of Ezra. Okay, when he was coming back, his purpose in God was hindered or was opposed because people tried to frustrate his purpose in God and all those things. But he came back, and the Jews that came with them, they had a vision to build a temple. And the temple work started, and there was some opposition they faced, and it was left undone for 15 years. Imagine, you make the altar, you lay the foundation, and the temple work is left undone. Then the Spirit of God stirred up Zechariah and Malachi, and they started prophesying, and the people were all the more excited, and they started reconstructing the temple. Temple got constructed, and then around, I think, 458 BC. Dates are not very accurate. You know, we try to be accurate, right? Those days, nowadays, when we look at the dates before, we say, yeah, 15 to 20 years, something like that, you know. But that's a long gap. But there was a return under Ezra, the second return from captivity under Ezra. And Ezra was of the tribe of Levi, and he was of the line of Aaron, and he was a scribe. Ezra was discipled by Jeremiah before the nation went into captivity, and his pastor passed away. But Ezra endured a lot, and there are many authentic sources that claim that he was the one who wrote Psalm 119. It's one of the longest psalm, and everything has to do with the precepts, judgments of God, and everything. It was Ezra, not David. And then the second return comes under. So he's like a pastor. He's like a man who knows God. He's like spiritually minded, and he comes and he ministers. But the momentum was not really picking up in Jerusalem. There was some, for some unknown reason, there was a lack in momentum. Like, he's doing the best he can, but you know how it is. And then 12 to 13 years later, God started preparing Nehemiah to bring the remaining Jews who were alive, who wanted to come back from the captivity. And the events that led to it was very interesting. In Nehemiah chapter 1, we'll just read this. There were few people that came from Jerusalem who were of the captivity. And he was a cupbearer to the king, Nehemiah. That means if someone had poisoned the king, he had to first drink it. And then if he stayed alive, the king would drink it. You know? So he was a great reformer. He was a very active mind. And then he inquired what was going on in Jerusalem. And in verse 3 it says, "They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great distress or affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Okay, so this is the news that he gets. And God stirs up Nehemiah to go back. He inquires of the king, examines the condition, then he goes back, and then there is a return, the third return from captivity. And Nehemiah was used by God to build the walls. To build the wall. Remember, temple is already built, but the walls were in ruins. Okay, and in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, it says that finally the temple was completed in 52 days. This was precisely 21st September 444 BC, because it has a lot to do with the 69 weeks of Daniel and the coming of the Messiah into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Or it could be Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 1, the day the decree went out. All right, so here is Zerubbabel. His mission was to build the temple. Ezra comes and there is like a drag. And finally, Nehemiah comes, and God put it on his heart to build the walls that was in ruins. Now, it is very interesting to see that when there was a plan made to build the walls, there was a lot of opposition to that. And the enemies to that was Sanballat and Tobiah and everything. And you can read, it's a historical book. It's a great book to read and enjoy. And after the wall was built, it is amazing. No, sorry. After the wall was built, temple was already built. But after the wall was built, it says, starting from chapter 8, a revival broke out under Ezra. Something that he hoped for and something that he was in agony with and hoping and praying to God to happen. But it had to just wait for the walls to be rebuilt. The walls that were in ruins and the gates that were burned with fire. There were many gates there. They had to make gates around for the walls and all that. And the moment walls were built, temple was already built, but the moment walls were built, an incredible revival broke out under Ezra. Particularly in chapters 8 and 9. And so we have in chapter 8 verse 10, a beautiful verse. And what a great verse, isn't it? The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, this is the point, and I'll just close with this. Picture this. The temple is rebuilt, but the walls are in ruins and the gates are burned with fire. That is one picture. Picture the second scene. The temple is rebuilt, but the walls are also built around with the gates. Okay, just to draw a spiritual application and then we'll close because we need to go home and cook, right? All right. Very quickly, we'll end this. Look at the first picture. Temple is built, but the walls are in ruins, okay? That is a picture of the reality of, or the fact of who we are in Christ. Temple is built and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we are not edified in who we are in Christ. Okay? So with the knowledge of doctrine and with the reality of our position in Jesus Christ, there is still a drag when it comes to the life of faith before God. Then picture the second scene. The temple is rebuilt, but the walls are also built with gates. This is a picture of not only the reality of who we are in Christ in terms of our position, but it also speaks about a believer totally and completely edified in who they are in Christ. The moment the believer is edified in who they are in Christ, guess what happens in chapter 8? A revival breaks through the ministry of the Word and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Now look at chapter 4. This is basically the point. Look at chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the burden bearers is decay. And look at this. And there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. There is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. Now, how do we interpret this verse in the light of that application? There are many things that come as a hindrance to your edification. We must term that as rubbish. We don't get analytical with it, but we must learn to put it aside. Isn't it? 2 Corinthians 1:24. Apostle Paul said, we want to be helpers of your joy. Not to have dominion over your faith, but we want to be helpers of your joy so that by faith you stand. You know, we have maybe some mental attitudes in us that are very contrary to edification. We could have that. Or maybe we say things or hear things that does not contribute to the edifice. Yeah, we do understand the foundation aspect, but it is so important how the superstructure is going to be upon that foundation, because it is based on that superstructure that we'll be evaluated at the Bema seat for our rewards. So anything that does not contribute to personal edification in our lives is a hindrance to building the wall, or it is a hindrance to edification. And we must learn to lay it aside, or we must learn to completely get rid of it. Because if there is that rubbish that hangs around or stays around, the Word of God says in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 3, inasmuch as we do understand and perceive the reality of who Christ is and we as his believers and the fact that we are even bound to heaven, there can be a lot of distress and there can be a lot of affliction. You know, learn to stay built up in who we are in Christ. You know, we must learn, and I think that will be a great learning process to stay built up. Anything in my heart that I am contemplating, if it is not really in the realm of edification, Maybe there is a personal gain involved with it, or I am avenging myself in some way. But if it is not contributing to the edification of the Spirit of God, or edification of our human spirits, we must define it as rubbish, because that hinders the building of the wall. Because it's only when the wall was built, there was revival. Before that, the temple was still there. Temple was already rebuilt under Zerubbabel, but what was the lack? What was the reason for that distress and affliction? It was because of what? It was left unguarded. It was left unguarded. And edification is so important to guard the excitement and the joy and the purpose of what God is speaking to us, and stay built up in who we are in Christ. And I would say with this thing, three things that could really come by way that can hinder edification is, number one, it's this. If there is unconfessed sins in our life, and may I say this because today is Communion Sunday and we partook of the communion in a worthy manner. If there is unconfessed sins, or if there is a practice of sin with an attitude of denial, we must deal with it before God. Because the way of the transgressor is hard, and as a man sows, he will reap. And because God is not mocked. If there is, I'm just speaking it to myself also, generally in principle, because sin breaks fellowship with God and it defiles the conscience, and we need the blood of Christ to cleanse our conscience, to make it pure, so that we can hold the mystery of faith, not in a defiled conscience, but in a pure conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9. Whatever that sin may be, and it's a personal issue between the believer and God, because we are believer priests. And we don't need to, in that sense, confess our sins to you. I'm not going and confessing all my sins that I committed in the last week to Pastor Anil, and Pastor Anil is not confessing his sins to me. Then we'll start hating each other. I didn't know you were such a big sinner. I didn't know you were a bigger sinner than me. I mean, we can tell like that to everyone around. No, if it is an issue of sin, it does not edify our soul. It is a breach in the spirit. It is a breach. And it will not contain, it will never cause us to contain what we are hearing. And if there, and it's a personal thing before God. God, if there is, and the Holy Spirit will convict us on that. And we don't have to, in that sense, repeat that matter to anybody else. We go before God in the privacy of our heart before God and say, God, you've shown it to me. This is the thing. And by the way, we receive grace to be overcomers in that area. And we could have slumped right into it again and again and again. But unconfessed sin produces distress and affliction, because that ruins the walls around the temple. There's a second thing, and I think that is, this is even a serious matter. The second thing is living in familiarity with what we have been taught. Because of our past involvement and past experiences that we have had with the work of the ministry and participation and all that, it is very possible a spirit of familiarity can creep in. And when that spirit of familiarity creeps in, it ruins the walls. It ruins the walls. A spirit of familiarity is very dangerous. And Pastor Stevens has taught us six types of familiarity. And one of the first form of familiarity is familiarity to the courts of God. We can do a class on that later. Six kinds of familiarity a believer can get into. So we are knowledgeable of the doctrine, but God warns us, do not be familiar with what we have received. Do not be familiar with the grace of God. Live in excitement of the grace of God, because grace is a provision. Do not get familiar with the doctrine we have received. Continue in it. Continue in it. Because in take heed to the word, take heed to the doctrine, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. That is a warning against familiarity. 1 Timothy 4:16, for in so doing, you shall both deliver yourself and them that hear you. And the third thing that come as a rubbish or a total hindrance to edification is this. It is preoccupation with the details of life. Now, preoccupation is different from familiarity, okay? Everything is not familiarity. Preoccupation is different. Preoccupation simply means, I need to do something, and in the calendar that God has given us, or in the list of to-do things in the day, we must definitely do it. To not to do that would mean I am being irresponsible as a steward of Jesus Christ. So we have to do it. But preoccupation means that which I do begins to control me for the day. That which I do begins to exercise rule over me in such a way that I begin to lose the joy of the Lord and I forget the fact that I could reign with Jesus Christ in that particular detail of life. Okay, so think about this. We are built up. We are edified, and guard the fact. If there are cracks on that wall, let's cement it. Let's call Pastor Chris and the team. They do a good job. And by the way, we have to do some cementing also. Right? Temple is intact, fantastic. But let's cement the walls and let's make sure the gates are guarded. It is not just the reality of who we are in Christ. God wants us to be edified in that reality. And you know, we do not know what we are capable of if we are not edified. We could do the strangest things. We are sitting like nice people this Sunday morning. But if we allow distress and affliction to take over, and I'm not even talking about suffering in the will of God, because suffering will not cause me to not be edified. Suffering can produce brokenness in such a way we draw all the more near to God, even if it means with much tears. I'm speaking about other things of Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10. So when there is that edification, stay built up. You know, you just tell yourself, I am amazing. But we don't feel like it many times, right? Because someone else told us we were not amazing. No, it's you are amazing in Jesus Christ. That's the reality. If there is anything that hinders that reality, let's deal with it. Let's deal with it before God. Take it to God and say, God, this hinders the fortification of the wall around the temple. And I don't want this to come into my life and cause a breach, because that will hinder with your revival in my heart. Stay, we are not only who we are in Christ. God wants us to be edified in that reality. Stay edified in who you are in Christ. You know, we are shocked what we can do or say when we are not edified, but it will be amazing what we could say or do when we are really edified. Now, have you had those moments when we are truly edified in Christ that none of these things bother you? None of the things bother you. You're so excited, you're on cloud nine. That's what happens when you're truly edified. We are not stuck in the mud with things. When we are truly edified, anything is possible with you. It's almost like you can climb a mountain. You can climb Himalayas. It's not like, you know, when we stay edified, it'll be amazing the kind of faith decisions we make and the kind of conversations we have to love them and to build them up. Now, when we stay edified, it takes us to the next step, which is fellowship and worship, of course, but we are brought to a place of witness. And that's what we heard beautifully from Agilesh on the Sri Lanka trip. Stay edified in Jesus Christ. Stay edified in who we are in Christ. The walls, thank God for the temple. That way we are who we are in Christ. This is just a spiritual application, but it does mean a lot. But let the walls around it be fortified. Let the walls around it be fortified. Let it be strengthened. Let it be examined. Let the cracks be cemented and stay built up, stay encouraged. And our life will have incredible witness because of being edified in who we are in Christ. Amen. So until Nehemiah chapter 8, it was confusion. Nehemiah was in a lot of weeping and praying. He's consulting Ezra, and Ezra is looking at him and saying, the moment the walls got built, you couldn't stop them. It says a great revival broke under Ezra and the nation was unstoppable. And Sanballat and Tobiah had to flee in different directions. Is that amazing? This is who we are in Christ. When we stay built up and encouraged in who we are in Christ, there is no limit to what is possible with us, because the Spirit of God has a control over us. Amen? Amen. So we will close in prayer. Amen. You are amazing. That's what the Word of God says. But we don't look like it in the mirror, especially Sunday morning. We have to get ready. What? Amazing? Yeah, in Christ. The fact of who we are in Christ is one thing, but to be edified in that reality is quite another thing. And the one who is constantly edified in that reality is the one who lives with revival in his heart. And that revival is necessary if you have to make an impact for Jesus Christ. And anything that comes to ruin that wall, to stop the revival, we must deal with it personally as individuals and corporately as a body. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless these thoughts to our hearts. And sometimes the building of the wall in that sense has a lot to do with reckoning on doctrine, reckoning on who you are, what you have done for us against our reasoning and against our feelings. But build us up, Father, we pray, especially in these last days where there is so much of temptation, pressure, opposition, confusion, spirit of confusion in the world that comes in ways to distract and disorient believers. But thank you that we can have the joy of the Lord as our strength. We can have the joy of the Lord as our strength. And that's revival in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you are not a believer, and or maybe you are, or maybe you are not, but if you are not sure, today is the day you can make that decision. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ paid the punishment for you on the cross because He loves you. He cares for you. Welcome Him. And if you've never done that before, welcome Him into your heart and say, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Wash me from my sins. Deliver me once for all. Make me a child of God. I want to go to heaven after I die." Make that confession. In that sense, you're calling on the name of the Lord. The Word of God says, with that confession in the heart, and then before God, you're saved once for all. Okay, if there's anybody who have made that decision for the very first time, you can consult one of us here, the leaders here, and we will definitely help you as a church, okay? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's stand for the closing song.